At Bet365, we don't do ordinary. We believe that every sport should be epic. Every home run, every hit, every inning, every play. From the moments that are legendary to the ones that fly under the radar. Whether it's a walk-off grand slam or a base hit to center field. Whatever the sport, whatever the moment. It's never ordinary at Bet365. 21 plus only. Must be present in Ohio. If you or someone you know has a gambling problem and wants help, call 1-800-GAMBLER.
When you buy Kroger brand products, you feel like you're winning. That's because they offer proven quality at lower than low prices. In fact, we guarantee that you and your family will love how Kroger brand products taste, or you get your money back. So next time you're shopping for the family, look for delicious Kroger brand products, because they'll make you all feel like you're winning. Shop now, in-store, or online. Kroger, fresh for everyone.
If you love sports and true crime, then there's a new podcast from executive producer Dan Patrick and hosted by me, Jay Harris, that you won't want to miss. Playing Dirty Sports Scandals. Each week, I'm squeezing the juiciest details from some of the biggest sports scandals ever. I'm talking Marcus Dixon, Olympic gymnastics, Cain Velasquez, salacious Super Bowl-level scandals. Join me on the dark side of sports by listening to Playing Dirty Sports Scandals on the iHeartRadio app, Apple Podcasts, or wherever you get your podcasts.
Welcome, everyone, to the Sports Illustrated Media Podcast. I'm your host, Jimmy Traina. Thanks so much for listening. Great, great pod today with Kirk Herbstreit of ESPN ABC. Covered a billion topics with Kirk. Everything from, you know, going through this awkward 2020 season thanks to Corona, to him calling the NFL, to reminiscing about his days with Brent Musburger, stories about Lee Corso, the infamous Eminem interview, college football becoming political, or politicized, I should say. Covered everything with Kirk, who was great. So I really enjoyed the conversation. I hope you do too. Before we get to it, if you missed any previous episodes of the SI Media Podcast, we've had some great ones lately. Peter Schrager last week from Good Morning Football is tremendous. Ernie Johnson 2 weeks ago. Al Michaels on the pod recently. Dan Patrick, Kevin Harlan. If you missed any of those interviews, go into the archives. Check them out. And if you're not a subscriber to the SI Media Podcast, hit that subscribe button. And if you can rate and review, always appreciate that. All right, let's get right now to ESPN's Kirk Herbstreit. Okay, everyone, joining me now from ESPN, top college football analyst in the country, Kirk Herbstreit, also on the best pregame show in the country, College Game Day. Kirk, how's it going?
Doing well. How are you?
I'm well. First time on the SI Media Podcast with me. I appreciate it. I'm not sure how I haven't had you on by now, so a lot to cover. A lot to cover.
Do it. Looking forward to it.
Let's start with something that I when I was planning this, I didn't have it on sort of the list of topics, but it just came out. You guys are going to be doing College Game Day from Augusta National. That's got to be a thrill, I guess, and a little bizarre.
Yeah. No, it's what a time 2020 is on so many levels for all of us. And as sports fans, everything's just kind of been condensed and moved, and we all know that the Masters got moved from the spring to the fall. And when they announced that it was going to be moved to the fall, I don't know how it came about. I'm sure that the folks at ESPN and College Game Day, the executives, reached out and said, hey, it'd be great if we could bring the show over. And obviously Augusta must have been open to it. They just announced it, like you said. So pretty incredible. I've only been there a handful of times as a spectator. I'm the kind of golf fan that watches the majors. Unless Tiger's, you know, up near the top of the leaderboard, then I'll be drawn into almost any tournament. But just the history and tradition of that, I'm a kind of a traditionalist when it comes to sports, so I'm looking forward to going for sure.
Do you get any say in where game day goes? Do they consult you at all? Do you get a voice in it?
Yeah, I mean, I doing it for 25 years, you know, it's not as if I have veto power or anything, but I'm involved with, you know, hey, let's get, you know, certain people's thoughts on what makes sense. Just knowing the history and the fabric of the show. Ultimately, I think I'm guessing it'd be Lee Fitting that they would probably make the final call on what we end up doing. But I think they like to pick a handful of people's minds on, you know, what our thoughts are each week.
Is there a school you haven't been to in these 25 years that you'd love to get to for game day?
You know, we have been to, I would obviously said Washington State until what we were able to do a year ago. You know, we were able to knock off a few the last couple of years.
You guys even did New York City, which I can tell you as a New Yorker, nobody here cares about college football. That was amazing when you guys were here.
It was. And you know what's neat about that? I think Fowler's the one who had the idea about it, and maybe his wife, Jen, because they live in New York, and they've always talked about how many bars in that area.
Right.
You know, they, on Saturdays, even though they're traditional New Yorkers are into pro sports, but a lot of alums obviously live in the area, so they takes over that bar, and you know, Nebraska takes over that bar, whatever it is. Florida has this bar. So they just thought it'd be kind of neat to celebrate the idea that all those alums are passionate college football fans. But that was a memorable show. You know, we went to Ames, Iowa. I don't know if there's anyone left. A bear would know like that, which one did not hit. But, yeah, it's been fun. Man, and a lot of times we go off the beaten path. We'll go to, like, you know, North Dakota State or, you know, JMU, some of these that are a little bit more obscure. But, man, we have a lot of fun when we go to those shows, too.
At this point, would you rather go to something off the beaten path like that instead of an Alabama or a Michigan or a, you know, Florida, where you've probably been, you know, a million times over the years? You get excited for the newer ones?
You know, weird, man, is each year, and I know we're in a little bit of a different stage right now, but each year when it's a normal game day, you going to Gainesville or going to Tuscaloosa or Columbus, it's kind of like we've been there. But you got to remember, for college football fans, that year is a new set of circumstances. It's a new challenge. It's a new, like, star player.
Right.
It always feels different. So it doesn't feel like we've been there. And our director does a really good job of moving the set around to try to bring out the best feel that we can have to kind of keep it fresh. So, yeah, I mean, it doesn't really get stale, but I started actually the other end. I was always like, do we have to go to a small school kind of guy because of, you know, like I said, I like some of the big time schools, but I've come full circle on that. So now when I hear we're going to go to one of those, instead of being like, oh man, I kind of get fired up about it.
Makes sense. You've mentioned a couple of times 2020 is unlike anything we've ever experienced. And I'm glad I got you this week instead of next week, because I don't know what I'm going to do next week for a pod. I was talking to my producer before, and I'm like, I want to get like one of the WWE wrestlers on and not talk about anything that has to do with, just talk about something that is totally not what's going on in the news. How has game day? I mean, I've written this a few times on SI.com. I mean, I don't think there's a sports show in history that relies more on atmosphere than college game day. And now you don't have the atmosphere. How bizarre has it been?
So fair. So accurate. I almost look at our crowd as like another member on our desk. I mean, they are like, think about that camera that we always have that goes over top of the crowd. And those are bump shots. And, you know, you're reacting to so many things that are unpredictable. You just don't know what's going to happen. And to take that away, that energy away, it's like if a music act played in front of a stadium and now they're playing in front of just some, you know, family or friends. Or if you did Broadway and Broadway theater's empty, it's just you feed doing our show.
Yeah.
We feed off of that crowd and off of that energy, and to take that away from our, because I'll tell you, man, I've watched other shows, whether it's NFL shows or college shows, it's so different.
The crowd
feels so like distant, out of touch with what's going on in the show. Our crowd, I mean, they're just like, they are into the show. They react to every word you say. Booing, cheering, crying, laughing, whatever it is. And to eliminate that, we've made the best of it. Like, I guess all of us are in 2020 are trying to do.
Yeah.
We're trying to stay positive. We're trying to put on the best show. But it is what it is, right?
Yeah.
And just like when you turn on Michigan and Minnesota, it's an empty stadium. And it's weird.
Right.
Or you turn an NFL game. It's an empty stadium a lot of times. It's just, we did the Giants and the Steelers game, and it was really cool to do a Giants Steelers game. There wasn't one fan in the stands.
Yeah.
So your brain just has to like somehow get over that. Do your job you can, but you definitely miss the crowd.
Yeah. And as just as the home viewer watching on television, though, there's still such a, I mean, if you're watching Giants Steelers on TV with no fans, you don't really notice it until there's a couple of crowd game day. You notice it every, I mean, the crowd is a co-host on game day. You know, so listen, there are a million reasons why game day is awesome, but all you need to know about game day is they somehow managed to get, you know, thousands of college kids out of bed and into a place at like 7 a.m. on a Saturday. That's all you need to know about game day. I watch a show every week, and every week I'm like, maybe this is the week no one's showing up because they're hungover in bed. Like, but they, I mean, it's amazing how many people still show up that early in the morning.
It's incredible. Crazy. It is incredible, man. There are, and each week you're kind of like, under normal circumstances, you're kind of like, man, that was the best show we've had in a long time. That's the best show. And then you go to the next week, wherever you go, and there's thousands of people there. And you know what I think it is? It's not just game day. Honestly, it's college football. Like if we did game day for MLB or the NBA,
right,
these other sports, it wouldn't be what it is.
Yeah.
It, you know, the college football fan is like the European soccer fan. I mean, they are so passionate.
Yeah.
So you throw in our show in the middle of that, walking around and in the middle of these tailgates. And these kids grew up in when they were in sixth grade and seventh grade and eighth grade. And all of a sudden now they're at Georgia and here comes game day. They're like, oh my God, I've been watching this show my whole life. Now I'm a student at Georgia. I'm going to the show. I don't care what time it is. And a lot of times they camp out the night before, honestly, just to be able to get a good spot to be a, try to get on TV.
No, and I also think that no matter what's going on, I mean, there's so much has been written about like the NBA ratings, the MLB ratings, NHL. No matter what goes on, the advantage that the NFL and college football will always have is, you know, outside of obviously here and there, when you're once a week, that's just such an advantage you have. You know, like your Saturday is dedicated to college, your Sunday is NFL. That's the days you get it. Yeah, you have your Monday night, your Thursday night, get all that. But like, you know, with MLB and NBA, I mean, they're on every single day. So it's just so easy to skip it and miss it. Like you don't want to miss those college football Saturdays or those NFL Sundays.
100%. And I'm a consumer myself. So we've gotten out of the world of appointment viewing, you know, generation.
Absolutely.
Appointment viewing. I don't know how you felt about the show Friends, but like I Thursday night at 8 o'clock, boom, I'm on NBC. I had to be on NBC or I wouldn't get to see that show.
Yeah.
You just kind of, there's so much out there and everybody DVR stuff and you know, you can grab it somewhere else later. And so with our show and with college football and with NFL football, like you said, it's once a week and people made it through their week. They can just chill out and kick their feet up and watch the game. And so you're right. A huge advantage with that sport in this country.
Yeah.
Then you when the passion behind it and how much people love the game itself. You know, when I grew up baseball, was kind of that way. I grew up as a big Reds fan. If you're a New Yorker, I'm guessing you're a Yankees or a Mets guy.
Yep.
I mean, you're in your backyard playing baseball. You're watching it on TV. You're listening on the radio. Baseball was flying as far as the top sport in the country. And NFL was, from what I remember as a kid, NFL was not what it is today.
Yeah.
And then somewhere along the way, the game of football has just taken over this country for sure.
Yeah, fantasy football helped and gambling and their TV deals, the way they're structured, I think, you know.
I think it's pacing of football. Like as a diehard baseball fan, if I go to the Reds game in the third inning, you know, it's a ground ball to second. There's one out and there's ball three, ball four. And I'm a passionate guy. I think my world with the phone and everything moving so fast. You go to a baseball game and you have to be a dinosaur. You really have to appreciate the game to still enjoy baseball because of the pacing.
Well, I do think, and I think the pacing is it's a factor on TV. I think when you go to a game, you don't mind the pacing because you're sitting there with someone, you know, you're chatting, you know, you're eating your hot dogs, you're drinking your beer. There's a lot going on in the state, but on TV, the pace kills the vibe a lot during the, you know, on the regular. And I do think, you know, 162 games, it's just so easy to check out. you know, with baseball. But as we're seeing in the World Series, though, it's a great World Series. Now you're there, you're hanging on every pitch, and the intensity is there. So,
yeah,
you know, yeah. It's you got to get to the money games.
Are you a Mets or Yankees?
Yankees,
guy?
Yankees. Yeah. So I had a good run.
You had a great run.
I had a great run.
As a National League guy. So if you go back to our era, I never saw the American League other than like this week in baseball with Mel Allen or the All-Star game. You know, that so seeing the American League in the World Series was a big deal because you didn't really see Eddie Murray that often. And now here's Eddie Murray with the Orioles. You know, it was kind of special. Now it's, I think it's really watered down with interleague play. And it's just, it's very different game today than it was, I think, in the 80s and 90s.
I know it's hard to pick one. Do you have a preference of either doing game day or doing the, you know, the marquee game on Saturday night?
So hard to pick that. Yeah. I obviously love game day because I love talking about the entire landscape, whether it's, you know, eventually the Pac-12 gets back, the Big Ten coming back, the SEC, who's the best team, who the top four, you know, all those fun discussions. I love doing that with people that I enjoy being on TV with. So that's huge for me. But man, there's just nothing like putting your headset on at a huge game on a Saturday night or in a Rose Bowl or a playoff game or a big rivalry game. It's hard to top that because the energy that you feel, and I'm such a fan of the sport and of these players and coaches. So man, if they made me pick one, I just don't know. Yeah. I don't know what I would do if they made me. I'm lucky to be.
Yeah. You mentioned the Pac-12. I wanted to get your take on this because I don't know, maybe it's because I'm a sports media nerd, but I thought more would be made of it. But the Pac-12 playing 9 a.m. games this year. Good for the sport, bad for the sport, bad for the kids. What do you make of the 9 a.m. local times for the Pac-12?
It stood out to me as well. I know that they've wanted that for a while. The coaches have, you know, if you think about it, even though we're on the East Coast or Central Time, wherever you are, these games that get started at 10 o'clock Eastern, 7 o'clock local for them, if they're on the road in Tempe and they live in Seattle, you know, they're not getting back till the wee hours. And I know these coaches have really complained a lot about that to Larry Scott. And I think that has as much to do with why you're seeing the change as much as anything. I don't think it's much wear and tear on the kids at all. I know from being at Ohio State, when we would play Central Time with a noon kick, 11 a.m. local, that was really tough to get out of bed early, do your team walk early, do your team meal early, get to the stadium early. And that was just from noon to 11. Now you're talking about doing a 9 a.m. kick. I mean, that is – I'm anxious to see the energy of those games. You throw in a 9 a.m. kick and you throw in no crowd, it's going to feel really strange.
Well, that's what – I got to say, I was – one of the things I'm bummed out about a lot is that when this whole – talk of 9 a.m. local time started, I couldn't wait to see what kind of crowds they drew for those games. Now, obviously, because of COVID and the no fans, we don't get to see that. But I would have been very curious to see if those stadiums would have been filled.
No, I don't think they would have been. I think they were in a 20 to 30% drop in capacity from what they've normally been. And I think depending on, you know, there's some regions like you get in Seattle and Eugene. I mean, they love football, so maybe it would drastic there. There's other places you might see even a bigger drop. So I think let's see where, if they continue this approach, let's see what happens down the road when the crowds are allowed back in these stadiums. But put yourself in the fans' shoes. That's you imagine going to a game at Penn State at 9 a.m. I mean, that's brutal.
I'm not a big go to football games guy anyway. I think I get college is different than NFL. College is an experience, but for me, you just see so much more on television. You just miss so much at the game, but that's just me, and I'm old, and I wouldn't want to be at a football stadium at 9 a.m.
The viewing on TV now, the camera,
that's tremendous.
The high def. I mean,
well, how about the Indiana touchdown? Like, if you're in that stadium, you have no idea what the hell is going on that play. But on TV, you're getting these shots that are off the charts.
By the way, I still can't figure out how that was good. I still, I don't. I mean, the ball looked like it hit
the ground. Yeah,
it then hit the pylon. But, you know, the angle was at about from the 2 or 3 yard line, as opposed to being straight down the goal line, which made it a little bit tougher. Maybe they just went with the call on the field. That's the only thing I can think of. But I thought I could sworn I saw the ball skim the ground and then hit the pylon.
It is amazing for all the changes and the insanity of what 2020 is and how the sports world was rocked by it. The one thing that doesn't change is replay in every sport is still a disaster. It's unbelievable. It's unbelievable.
I know.
Never fail.
We didn't seem to have these arguments because now they're concrete arguments.
Right.
Before, if a guy was safe at first or out and decided the game, it was subjective. You complained and bitched and moaned a little bit, but you never really knew what the answer was. So you weren't so adamant about it. Now, you imagine being a Penn State fan or a player this week. I mean, the Ole Miss situation. Auburn, yeah. And the kick, Kiffin gets in trouble, but he's right. I mean, the ball hit the finger. They didn't even review that. So, yeah, it's maddening how inconsistent and erratic the replays are. But you're right, it's in every sport.
How great is Lane Kiffin asking for 25,000 pennies, not realizing his fine was for $25,000 and he needs a lot more than $25,000 pennies to pay that off. That was great.
He's a beauty.
You know, it's funny. This is so stupid, but I'll mention since we talked about replay, I was going to tweet this and then I didn't. But here's the other thing I don't get about college football. Okay, here we are 2020 where technology is insane. You can get like a 50-inch TV for like $200 at Best Buy. When they go to replay in college football and they're basically looking into a television that's the size of an iPhone under that hood, can we get them a bigger monitor, please, to look at these plays? It's ridiculous.
That's a great call. You've got different conferences doing it different ways. Right. You go back to the conference headquarters, you know, that's why they have the headphones on and they're talking to the guys upstairs and the guys upstairs, you'd like to think that they've got a good monitor, but it's the whole thing I think is from an optic standpoint is a bit frustrating and confusing for sure. Yeah.
I'm going to put you on the spot here because this question probably requires a little bit of thinking, but you could go right off the top of your head. It doesn't have to be anything that serious. But if I put you, Kirk Herbstreit, in charge of college football and you could make any 2 or 3 changes you want to the sport, whether it's rules, whether it's anything, what would you want to see done differently in college football?
Oh man.
I'll throw one out there. I hate the rule that if someone is down and they're never touched, they're down.
Okay.
That you'll see a 50-yard pass. The guy catches it, falls down. There's no defender within 10 yards of him, but he's down. Why can't he get up and run? I hate that rule. That's mine.
Yeah, that's a good one. I mean, the overtime rule kind of stands out a little bit. You know, I've heard, you know, the NFL has changed theirs in recent years. The college one, I'd like to see the college one where you have to work for it a little bit more. I like the idea of the inning. It's basically, you know, the top of the first and bottom of the first. I like the idea of that where both offenses get a chance to get on the field.
Yeah.
But I wish it was a little bit more work. I feel like at the 25, it's just, you know, you're almost already in field goal range with the kickers. Right. So I'd like to see you have to work for it a little bit more. From a larger scale standpoint, I really think that, you know, who knows where we're headed with Title IX and who knows where we're headed with, you know, scholarships and reduction in scholarships and all that. But in a perfect world, I'd love to see guys have 5 years of eligibility, like where you can play as a freshman. Mm-hmm. A lot of guys are focused on 3 and out.
That's a good one.
But I would like to see guys get a chance because I tell you, man, you start to lose some players. These offensive linemen, they're just – these college programs need – you can't add scholarships. Mm-hmm. So maybe – just give them 5 years. Maybe that'll help with that concern where the number is low.
Yeah. I never like to correct guests, and you're the greatest college football analyst out there. So it's ballsy for me to correct you, but I just want to say there's no such thing as field goal range with college kickers. The 1 yard line is not field goal range with college kickers.
Yeah. Yeah.
Just for the record.
Missing a lot of extra points these days, right?
Crazy. As a better, I know you can't go there, but as a better, it's just these games get thrown into complete havoc with these missed extra points. It's rough.
Have you ever missed? Has there ever been a missed extra point that cost you?
Did you see the one last week? Was it Middle Tennessee State where it hit the three?
Twice in Middle Tennessee.
Yeah.
Four times. cost him the game.
Yeah, there you go. There you go. That's as bad as it gets.
Yeah.
I'm sure SVP had a field day with that one on bad beats. I don't want to get into a political Trump thing, but I'm just curious. Has it been bizarre to you to see college football become sort of a political weapon in this country this year?
I think everything this year with the election become political. Everything.
Yeah.
I don't pretend to know politics. I really don't really suck one way or the other. I'm not just saying that. I just don't. Right. I'm independent. But I learned the hard way. I think I watched the first debate, and I watched it, and I thought, wow. I think I just said something like, I tweeted, just watched this debate, very concerned. And all I meant by that was the debate was like being in a fifth grade debate. Like they were each other and just acting like this is for the president of the United States, right? Not the president of the fifth grade class. I just thought it was very juvenile.
Yeah.
Not very productive.
I'm sure your mentions were fun after that.
Oh God, I didn't mean anything by it. I just thought we might see more. The only time I really tune in is when they have presidential debates is when I kind of tune in to what's on, just to kind of see what these guys are about.
Well, like Trump is taking credit for saving the Big Ten. And
I know
that's going to be weird for you as like someone in the sport. Like, what is going on here? We just want to play college football and, you know.
Yeah. And that's what I was going to get to is I'm just showing you how volatile the situation is. A simple little tweet that I sent out. And it was like, oh, my God. Ever tweet again anything ever about politics ever. You throw Trump into saying, well, you know, I kind of saved the day with Kevin Warren, and I have no idea what was involved behind closed doors. I mean, I know that my good friend of mine, Dr. Jim Borchers, who's a college roommate of mine, he was as involved as anybody. If there's somebody that saved the day, I'd like to think that Borch saved the day, because he's the one that, when they got back together with the presidents and chancellors, he had enough information. And I think he was actually, he changed the narrative for them and allowed us to have a chance to see the Big Ten come back and play. But yeah, I'm not shocked with, you know, anything right now with the election up. And it's just, to me, it's just very, very sad.
I was just about to say, even sadder than college football becoming political is that COVID is political. And, you know, you had experience. I tweeted about this at the time where you had tweeted, you didn't tweet. I think Awful Announcing had tweeted that you were going to do game day from home because, you know, there was an issue there with COVID. Yeah. And I looked at their tweet and the first five replies were like, I can't repeat what people were calling you and saying. And I tweeted that. And because I just couldn't believe that this, how are we at this point? How did we get to this point?
I'd address publicly that I'll say with you right now that really just kind of set me back a little bit. The fact that I ended up coming in contact with somebody that had, that tested positive for COVID. It's not like I'm taking a stance politically of, I will not be stopped. It's like, we have rules. ESPN, Disney has rules. If you come into contact, it's pretty simple. CDC has rules. And it's like, you follow, what am I going to do? You follow the rules. I'm not making a dance. I'm not making a statement to anybody. And, you know, I'm not setting an example. They told me, hey, you're out 14 days. You're out 14. There you go. That's what you're doing. At least I'm going to be on the show. But I had the reaction and the negativity blew my mind.
How is someone's life affected by you doing game day from your house?
Right, right. But it goes to show you that if you don't believe what they think, or the whole mask thing, you don't wear a mask. And it's like, how that's become political to me is mind boggling. And then the other thing was when we talked about racial equality, I grew up in a locker room. You know, I if you were a turd or a bad guy, I probably didn't hang out with you, whether you're white or black. If you were a good guy, whether you're white or black, I was probably drawn to you. Like if we were having training table and eating and you were one of the good guys that I vibed with, I probably sat down with you. It was just the way life was. And if you were kind of a bad guy, I didn't really hang out with you. And that's kind of how I look at life. You know, I look more of who people are on the inside instead of what's going on the outside. It's just how I've always viewed life. And so I didn't expect to be emotional when we did that segment, but listening to those players and hearing from some of my buddies who are Black guys and telling me some stories, I was just kind of heartbroken that this is where we are in our country. And so I had no idea what I was going to say. I just kind of said what I felt. And I happen to be a guy that has compassion for people that are not treated fairly. Doesn't mean every Black citizen is mistreated. It means if one of them is mistreated, it's a problem for me. If anybody is mistreated, it's a problem for me. And I like to be friendly to people. I like to treat people well. And when I feel like when they're not being treated fairly, I just don't think that that's right. So I became a little bit emotional there. I didn't plan it. ESPN didn't ask me to do it. Are you kidding me? Like all these crazy things that people said. And and I get so many people that send me tweets with me crying like I'm some kind of wuss because I cried. And I'm just like, I don't know how people's brains operate to think that way. It's just, I wasn't making.
Well, there's also this. I apologize for cutting you off, but there's also like this groundswell that like, because you're a member of the media or if you're an athlete, you're not entitled to an opinion. Like it's, you're not a person.
But my opinion was, let's just be nice to each other.
Right.
Instead of dividing, let's come together. Let's be cool to each other.
What got you more blowback? The reaction to the social injustice segment or when you said you were working from home because of a positive?
That's close.
Really? That's crazy. That's really close. Sick. That's sick.
Yeah, I know. I didn't realize me being compassionate was a bad thing. I didn't realize being upset that people were going through, like being worried if you're a Black dude and you got a hoodie on and it's at night, you got to be concerned about that. Like, how was my wrong by thinking that doesn't seem right?
Yeah, you weren't. Yeah. Yeah.
I don't. But anyway, that was, again, it was not a political stance. Yeah. ESPN told me to do that. It was just, you know, my reaction. Yeah. And then I think 98% of the people understood what I was saying, but I think it's sad that people turned that into something else.
At Bet365, we don't do ordinary. We believe that every sport should be epic. Every home run, every hit, every inning, every play. From the moments that are legendary to the ones that fly under the radar. See for yourself when you sign up today and get $150 in bonus bets when you bet just $5. Whatever the sport, whatever the moment, it's never ordinary at Bet365. 21 plus only. Must be present in Ohio. If you or someone you know has a gambling problem and wants help, call 1-800-GAMBLER. Terms and conditions apply.
If you love sports and true crime, then there's a new podcast from executive producer Dan Patrick and hosted by me, Jay Harris, that you won't want to miss. Playing Dirty Sports Scandals. Each week, I'm squeezing the juiciest details from some of the biggest sports scandals ever. I'm talking Marcus Dixon, Olympic gymnastics, Cain Velasquez, salacious Super Bowl-level scandals. Join me on the dark side of sports by listening to Playing Dirty Sports Scandals on the iHeartRadio app, Apple Podcasts, or wherever you get your podcasts.
I'm Hannah Storm, and my podcast, NBA DNA with Hannah Storm, digs deep into the history of professional basketball, along with my own as one of the first female sportscasters.
Now let's get you up to speed on what else happened around the NBA today.
We talked to all sorts of people I interacted with, from Dr. J to Charles Barkley, and recap iconic moments.
Yes, he's got it. Here he comes. Ray rocked the baby to sleep and slam dunk.
As well as some of the wild stories behind the scenes.
We were like, what? What are we in for? The scoreboard crashes before we even tip a game off.
Today, the NBA is a global sports and entertainment giant. Players are multimillionaires and cultural icons.
Iguodala to Curry, back to Iguodala, up for the layup. Oh, blocked by James! LeBron James!
And these stories are about how we got here, both on and off the court. And what's next? Listen to NBA DNA with Hannah Storr on the iHeartRadio app, Apple Podcasts, or wherever you get your podcasts.
I'm going to switch gears to something more fun and light, because you have worked with two of the all-time characters in Corso and Musburger. tell me about working with Brent. How fun was that? I mean, he's so old school, but he is a character. When you talk about sports media characters, Brent is a character. I've interviewed him many times. I've been on his Vision show. He always told me he never wagered, but I always would explain to him that you guys did those games, within the first 5 minutes, everyone on Twitter is trying to figure out who Brent has in the game. It was a big thing. He always said he wasn't aware, but people would tell him when you did those games with Brent, were you aware Twitter was trying to figure out who they thought Brent bet on, even though he didn't bet?
Oh yeah, for sure. And I never really talked to him about it. Mm. But I myself was like, oh, boy. Like, it was like, touchdown, Buckeyes. It was like 7-0 with 13 going in the first quarter. I was like, I'd look over at my spotter like, it's not Ohio State today, you know?
And yeah.
It's just so funny that people, when I was with him, they got so mad at him, because when Brent would call game, you could clearly hear, you know, him kind of leaning towards one way. And fans always hear what they want to hear. And they would always say, why? And they'd come up to me, why does he hate such and such school so much? I'm like, he doesn't hate any school. He loves every school, loves every team. He just gets excited. And if he gets excited for one team, then the other fan base thinks that he's against him. But I had so much fun. It was a thrill for me. I started with him in 06 and it went all the way through to 13. So 8 years. And going back again, I hate to keep going back to your and my era, but I mean, I grew up watching him with Irv Cross, Jim Freak, and then not just that, because that was iconic, but then he got into college football when he would do games with Era, and I loved listening to him and Era call games together in the mid 80s.
Yeah.
And then of course he ended up, moving over to ABC and working with a number of people, and most notably, I guess, Gary Danielson. And I just always got a kick out of his games, loved his energy. You're looking live, you know, just always fired me up. And then
that didn't get you pumped up hearing Brent say, you're looking live, that you have no pulse. Yeah.
Yeah. And then in 06, they said, hey, we want you to call the Saturday night game with Brent. And I'm like, oh my God, what an opportunity for me. And I jumped at it and I just enjoyed it. You know, we had a lot of fun, a lot of games together.
Was the infamous Eminem interview as weird for you as it was for us watching it?
Oh my gosh. You know, what's crazy is he pulls into the stadium. His security team tells our booth that he would not come into the booth until the booth was cleared. We have about, between our audio folks and the guys who set up the set and the stats guys and the spotters, there's like six people typically up in that booth. He would not come on to do the interview until the booth was completely cleared. I don't know, for security reasons or what it was. So that was a little bit unusual. Then he came in and he was total, I never had met him. We're at a break, comes in, shakes our hands, could not be any more cordial and cool. And we were just hanging out, talking for about 2 minutes. And he's like, you know, where's the camera? You know? And I said, that little camera right there. And I pointed to it, and it's right up in the booth. It's a tiny little camera. And he goes, man, I don't like live TV. And he goes, I go, get out of here. He goes, no, I'm serious, man. He goes, it kind of wigs me out. And I'm like, no, you'll be fine. We'll just hang out. And then he was normal. And then 4, 3, 2, 1, you're back. And Brent starts to talk. And the guy that I was talking to goes into this character, and he's just like, Brent asked him a question, he's just kind of like sitting there like doing this, I forget what was the name of the song that I don't even remember.
I just remember the look on his face was like he was on another planet. Look,
but think about the genius play here by him, because by then he had not really been heard for a year or two. He didn't have any songs out. He's about to release this new single and new album. So what better way to promote it than not just come on with us and do a normal interview, but do an off the charts, bizarre interview where he looks like he's lost his mind and we interview him. And then he comes out, finally gets out of character, and he hangs out for a little bit. But Good Morning America, the Today Show, this show, that everybody talked about Eminem's interview. So if you think about it, pretty smart by him to get the buzz out that he had a new song coming out.
Yeah, we had a field day with that one.
That was one of the most uncomfortable things I've ever done in my life.
Really? Yeah. Did you know he was coming on? Was there were you able to prep a question or two? Like, when were you told he's coming on?
Yeah, they said they were efforting it. They said that there was going to be something they were going to try to do, but they didn't know if it would happen, because that year, kind of like Carrie Underwood does the NBC Sunday night game.
Yeah.
He has a theme song every week. He did that for us that week or that year.
Okay. Right.
That was early, and it was like week two where we unveiled it. And we just had him on to promote his album, and also the fact that he was going to be, doing that every week for us.
Yeah. And obviously Corso, when I had Chris Fowler on this podcast, it was probably a year ago now. I asked him about it. I've got to ask you about it. When Lee dropped the F-bomb, when he couldn't put the headgear on, take me through your entire experience during that moment, that great moment.
Well, I because I sit next to him and I have to play along a lot of times with his picks, I know better than anybody what went on there. We had Carl Lewis on the set, and we were down at Houston for SMU. Usually we go to, on game day, we go to a big time game. Well, this was more of a tribute to Houston. They were playing SMU. They're like 30-point favorites. They're going to kill SMU. So there was no who you're going to pick kind of thing. And if you know Lee, he usually badmouths a team and then he picks them, so it's like a WWE corner man kind of thing. And so we get near the end of the show. Chris says to Carl Lewis, who's from Houston, "Who are you going with?" "Houston." "Kirk, you're flying out to Oregon for a game with USC. Who you're allowed to make a pick? Give me Houston." And, they're going to cover the 30 kind of thing. "All right, Lee, who you got?" And it's like, he normally likes to keep you guessing. So he goes, "Oh, I can't believe you guys are picking Houston. I can't believe it." And we're looking at him like they're 30-point favorite. And he goes, I love Carl Lewis, Red, White, and Blue. Red, White, and Blue. And he grabs this male megaphone and he starts going, "SMU, SMU." And the crowd's not reacting the way they normally react. Normally they boo, because we're in Houston. And then he would put on the Houston hat. Everybody goes home happy. There's no reaction. And he keeps saying it. Nobody's saying anything. And then he finally gives up on it. He takes the megaphone and he throws it on the ground and says, "Oh, F it," because no one's reacting to his thing. And that's when all of, oh my God, I can't believe he said that. Oh my God. Because it was crystal clear.
Oh yeah.
And Carl Lewis is like, "Good thing we're on delay." And I'm like, "No, we're not."
I watch that video periodically because it makes me so happy. Your reaction in that video. Have you ever gone on YouTube and rewatched it?
Yeah. I didn't even know what I did, but
I think you like went back in your chair.
Threw a pin and up into the sky, up in the air, and I'm like looking inside the mascot, you realize what you just did, that kind of thing. Yeah.
Him saying it was good enough, but your reaction was the cherry on top of the sundae, I have to say.
Well, I'm telling you, people, Lee Corso, 85 years old, yeah. And he's God bless him. I mean, he's right now through COVID, he can't travel. So he's doing the show obviously on remote, but I've worked with him now for 25 years and he's, you could probably tell how we feel about him. He's always, people forget, you go back to the mid 90s, early 2000s. He was kind of like the guy you love to hate, was a controversial, outspoken, edgy, not afraid to say it kind of guy. And people, when we would walk on the set, they would boo him, and then after the show, he'd pick them to win and they'd all cheer him. He was like that guy, but he was incredibly witty. And, but on a personal level, he's like another father to me. I mean, you get to know a person when you're with him for 25 years. You're in the back of a car traveling to, a photo shoot or a commercial or wherever we're going. We spent so much time together. I went from not being married to being married, to my wife having twins and eventually four kids. And he was one of the guys that a lot of times I would confide in and talk to and ask questions to, being a young dad. And you know how it is when you talk to somebody about serious things going on in your life, you just naturally get drawn closer and closer to that person. And that's probably when he and my relationship changed the most. When I had kids, and he had four kids himself, and I would just ask him questions. And when I'd go to him, it was like going to Yoda or like going to like Don Corleone. Like I'd go on for 10 minutes with my problem or my concern. What about this? And he would listen the entire time for 10 minutes. And I would get done, and he was like petting a cat or something. And he would give me two sentences, and it was like, boom, there's your answer.
That's and you're great.
It is incredible.
It's great.
And I would take that advice every time, took it every time, and just followed his lead. And he's such an important person in my life. I love him.
Yeah. It's great to have that in your life. You've been doing game day for a long time. Long time. Do you ever see it? You ever see yourself not doing it, or is it one of those things you never leave because it's so good?
You know, I don't know. I love it right now. I hope to do it forever. I hope to be in college football forever. You know, as long as I'm in this industry, I don't know if I've talked with you about this, but I've just. We were talking earlier about game day bouncing around to different places, and sometimes it goes to the same show. It's just, it's hard to describe to people unless you're a college football fan, but the energy of it, the pageantry, getting onto a college campus in the fall, it's very, very different and very hard to explain to people unless you've done that. And so I would love to keep doing what I'm doing for as long as I can, especially doing studio and the game. But hopefully they never asked me to leave doing studio, but we'll see. I mean,
you and Chris caused yourselves some controversy because you were so good doing Giants Steelers that like the NFL fans were like, let's get these guys over here. Because ESPN has had some trouble with Monday nights. And then you did a radio interview where you had said you're more open to doing NFL.
Yeah.
And I should have reached out. I wrote a column about it. I should have reached out to it. I thought of it because I guess the question here is, can you ever see yourself doing NFL and not college, or would you only do NFL and keep college? Have you even thought about that far down the road?
I haven't, you know. I've always looked at it like, if you asked me that a year ago, I would say college. I would definitely do college. And after that experience, I would say I would love to entertain both. I would love the challenge. I don't know if anybody's ever done that where they do, you know, a big college game and then do a game in the NFL on the weekend. It would have to be a Monday game, obviously. If it were a Sunday game, I wouldn't be able to do college and pro.
Yeah.
Ideally, in a perfect world, I would love the challenge of trying to do both. But I'm now much more open to the idea of doing the NFL. In fact, we did that game, and then we did kind of a Reese and I kind of did a thing on the Raiders game where we had some guys, you know, like Peyton Manning, Charles Barkley, kind of joined us throughout a Monday night game on Zoom.
Yes.
And then we flew because the Patriots and the Broncos had some COVID issues. So we flew from Clemson, Miami a couple weeks ago, right after the game, flew right into Foxborough, which I'd never been there to Foxborough. And I'm in a hotel right outside of the stadium. Woke up the next morning. I'm on the phone with Pat Shurmur, offensive coordinator for the Broncos, and we're going over the two deep and talking to him. And he could not have been any cooler. And literally in the middle of that call, it's like 9 a.m. I got in at like 4 in the morning. It's 9 a.m. and I'm trying to get my bearings about the Broncos. And in the middle of the call, their PR guy comes in. He's like, hey, game just got canceled with another COVID test.
You were already in Foxborough when they canceled
the game. Foxborough, wow. Yeah. Looking at the stadium on the phone, Pat Shurmur, and the PR guy 30 minutes into our call interrupts the call and says, hey guys, I'm going to have to stop this. The game just got canceled. And I was like, holy cow, this is crazy. So I ended up, you know, flying home, but there's a willingness and an excitement in me after that experience with the Giants and the Steelers that I've never had the notion of doing NFL. So
you could pull off Saturday, Monday. Easily.
Yeah.
I don't know about Saturday, Sunday, because you need those meetings on Saturday. You know, Kevin Harlan does the games for CBS on Sunday afternoon. He has the Monday night game for radio. So there's a way to
Yeah.
Pull it off.
Saturday, Monday, if they would ever, that might be something that I would be able to do. But if it's like, hey, we want you to do NFL and stop doing college,
then
I'm going to, I mean, I would prefer to stay in college. It's my passion. It's what I love. But you know,
it sounds like if they asked you to do NFL and not college, you'd actually think about it.
I would think about it, but I would not say, yeah, I would definitely do that for sure. I would, I just want to see what the college game is when we get on the back end of this COVID and just how the game changes, if it does at all, you know, with the powers to be and the realignment and just kind of the conferences and where we're headed as a sport.
Saturday, Monday means a nice new contract too, but you know, they got to pay you double now. you want Saturday night and Monday night, the two marquee games. Three fun questions here to wrap it up. As a sports media nerd, I'm always curious about this. Have you ever had any close call? Because you do game day, and then sometimes you often fly to another state to do the Saturday night game. Have you ever had a close call where you almost didn't make the game?
One time we had a close call. We flew from Eugene, Oregon to Boston College. Florida State was playing college, and there was a nor'easter, and it was really bad. And we're about halfway, and they said, hey, we may not be able to get into Boston. And we were delayed even taking off. We may not be able to get to Boston because of this storm. We may have to go to Springfield and have a police escort drive you over to Chestnut Hill. And I have no idea where Springfield is. And I have no idea what we're going to do. And the closer we got, they said, we're going to try to get in. We're going to go into Boston. And I mean, we went in and we're bouncing all around and we landed and I mean, it was the kind of rain where you could barely see 5 feet beyond you. And we get into the car and we pull into the stadium at about 7:40.
Wow.
And game was at 8:00. By the time I press box, got everything situated, it was like 5 minutes to kick. So that was the closest one. Those are extreme circumstances, but believe it or not, in all these years, we've thankfully not had too many of those.
The most shocking part of that story is Boston College had a primetime Saturday 8 p.m. game on ABC.
Oh, you heard it.
Bad schedule that week. Oof.
Amen.
And then the last two, do you have an all-time favorite guest picker on game day? Who came on and you were really...
You know what? I'm a Will Ferrell fanatic.
That's a good one.
Love Will Ferrell when we get out there. But, you know, Katy Perry was really like... really entertaining. Like she got the role and was really fun. So I would say that set up that entire day at the Grove.
It
was off the charts, memorable show. And then she put an exclamation with her performance during the pick segment.
And do you have a most memorable sign that you've ever seen at game day?
I need to start doing a better job of remembering these signs because there are just so many of them that stand out. I don't have the most memorable one. I wish I, you know what, next time you ask me that, I'll be prepared.
I mean, listen, there's great ones every week, so it's hard to keep track.
Yeah.
But I just thought maybe there was one when you're walking in and you're like, now that's pretty damn creative.
But they always seem that, you know, when you go to Michigan is where you get the creative ones. You know, they tend to come at me pretty good up there, but man, it's, I miss signs, you know, it's that's so much fun with our show, big part of it.
Yeah. Well, hopefully we get back there in 2021, fingers crossed. Amen. And, I appreciate you coming on. This was a lot of fun for me. Enjoyed it. And,
thank you and good luck next week. I'll be tuned in next week. Up with.
I gotta be very careful next week. Very careful next week. You know, in all seriousness, I hope next week goes smooth. You know, because what you're seeing out there is pretty ugly. So hopefully, you know, people keep their heads together.
Hope I'm with you. I just hope everything's safe and we move on no matter what happens.
Yeah. All right. Keep up the great work and thanks for coming on. And we'll talk to you again. Stay safe.
Okay. Same to you. Thanks a lot, man.
Thanks, Kirk. Appreciate it. Take care. Okay. My thanks to Kirk Herbstreit. Really enjoyed the conversation with Kirk. Fun stuff there. And really enjoyed the interview. If you missed any previous episodes of the SI Media podcast, go into the archives and give them a listen. Peter Schrager from Good Morning Football was on last week. Ernie Johnson 2 weeks ago. Al Michaels, Dan Patrick, Kevin Harlan, all recent guests on this SI Media podcast. If you're a new listener or if you've never subscribed, hit that subscribe button. Appreciate it a lot. If you could rate and review, that helps too, but subscribing is huge. So please do that. And again, my thanks to Kirk Herbstreit for the great conversation. That wraps up this edition of the Sports Illustrated Media Podcast. We'll see you next week. Take care.
At Bet365, we don't do ordinary. We believe that every sport should be epic. Every home run, every hit, every inning, every play. From the moments that are legendary to the ones that fly under the radar. See for yourself when you sign up today and get $150 in bonus bets when you bet just $5. Whatever the sport, whatever the moment, it's never ordinary at Bet365. 21 plus only. Must be present in Ohio. If you or someone you know has a gambling problem and wants help, call 1-800-GAMBLER. Terms and conditions apply.
If you love sports and true crime, then there's a new podcast from executive producer Dan Patrick and hosted by me, Jay Harris, that you won't want to miss. Playing Dirty Sports Scandals. Each week, I'm squeezing the juiciest details from some of the biggest sports scandals ever. I'm talking Marcus Dixon, Olympic gymnastics, Cain Velasquez, salacious Super Bowl-level scandals. Join me on the dark side of sports by listening to Playing Dirty Sports Scandals on the iHeartRadio app, Apple Podcasts, or wherever you get your podcasts.
I'm Hannah Storm, and my new podcast, NBA DNA with Hannah Storm, chronicles my 6 decades in professional basketball, from growing up in the sport to becoming one of sports TV's first female broadcasters. Join me as I dig deep into the game's history, unearth some wild stories, and talk to my friends from the world of basketball, from Dr. J to Charles Barkley. It's been a wild ride, and now I get to take you with me. Listen to NBA DNA with Hannah Storm on the iHeartRadio app, Apple Podcasts, or wherever you get your podcasts.